Good morning, church. My name is Stan. If you haven't been around, you don't know me. I'm the lead pastor here and part of the preaching team. And we are super excited that you came today. I'm super excited you came today because it would be really awkward to preach to a room full of empty seats. That would be really tough. And I want to encourage you once again. You've already heard it, but I want to just bang on it again and again. Invite people for next week, right? What's next week? Wonder, right. And I don't want to wonder where all the people are, because we're going to be sharing Jesus with all the people. And if Jesus is all we need, then they need him too, right? So we want to have the room full three times over, standing room only in the foyer, right? Okay, all right. Scott, me and you are excited about it, all right? Think we can fill the room up ourselves? Probably not. Okay. But you're going to do it. I got confidence in you. I've got faith in you. Hey, we've been looking at some of the names of God over the last several weeks in a series called I Am. And the whole aim and focus of this series is for us to understand God's names so that we can exercise more faith and trust in him. Because his names reveal his character. It reveals who he is. And then we can lean into that. So we've had a great time learning so far. We've learned a few things: that he is Yahweh, the self-existent one, the creator of the universe. He exists whether we do or not. We learned that he is Jehovah Nissi, who fights our battles. He's Jehovah Jireh, who provides for us. He is God is a gardener. He grows us, shapes us, sometimes puts fertilizer in our lives that really stinks so that we can grow, right? Remember that? Thanks, Sharon, for that one. We've also seen he's El Roy, the God who sees, and Yahweh Sama, the God who hears. It's been really exciting for me to explore all these names of God. And if you've missed any of these, I would encourage you to go to the YouTube channel, go to the podcast, and catch up on that, because you've missed out. You've missed some great things. So avail yourself to that. Today, we're coming to a name of God that brings great, great hope to many people. This is also a name that is probably one of the most confusing and controversial names of God that has divided Christians for centuries. It's caused people to celebrate, and it's caused people to mourn and question God. It's caused people to question themselves. And unfortunately, sadly, this name of God has, for many people, shipwrecked them on their faith journey. Now, I need some help with this today because it's so confusing, controversial. So Dr. Phil is going to talk to us for a minute.
Dr. Phil.
Thank you.
Dr. Phil is back, which is exciting. And this week we're talking about...
I'm not singing.
I am the potter.
You are singing.
No, I'm not.
It's not an episode until Phil has sung. But this week we're talking about God, our...
healer. Some people say, oh, God heals. Hmm. And what that means for everybody is that God heals full stop, but some people are not healed. Hang on.
Sorry.
What's he doing here? This is Dr. Phil. Sorry, what is Graham doing here?
Pushing on your gig.
What do you want?
Hey, what do you want?
Well, I want all these pastors to be brought back. We're going to do some giving out of hampers.
Yes, I'm sorry. We're talking about a very theological topic, so I'm not sure.
What? Hang on a minute. What do the hampers represent?
Food.
Food.
Is that right? Is that right?
But it represents our congregation bringing the healing, relief of God to people in distress.
You're getting too theological for me. I better leave.
Okay. Right. When we talk about the healing of God, we're thinking of God just healing diseases.
Right.
But he doesn't. He heals dis-ease.
Oh, yeah. Wait for it.
See, well, there's a song we sing, and I'm not going to sing it because I can't remember it all, but there's a line in it which says, he heals all my disease.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never sing, he heals all my disease.
Okay.
I always sing, he heals all my dis-ease. That as we open our lives to God, he heals all our dis-ease. Look at Paul says, I asked you, Father...
Three times,
and he doesn't do it. Be like me, you're writing your journal every day. Why have you answered this prayer? Instead of Paul goes, I've asked you three times. He's asked within the context of his covenant relationship with God. God says no, but this is what I'm going to do to help you cope with your dis-ease.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so in that sense, Paul's dis-ease is healed.
Mm. You're a little older than me, a little wiser, a little more experienced. I presume
I'm certainly older than you, lad.
Surely there have been times when the disappointment that your dis-ease has not been eased has been too much.
How much time have we got?
Not enough for that. But you still believe that God is our healer.
Oh, yeah, because he's healed me in so many different ways.
Mm.
I still have a bunion, right? When I was at Albert Park and doing ministerial training, there were three young men who had cancer.
Mm.
One of them I knew from Lilydale. One of them was a fellow candidate for the Baptist ministry. And the other one was the grandson of a lady that came to Albert Park Baptist Church. So I visited them in hospital. I was actually the chaplain at Prince Henry's at that stage. So I actually visited one of them in hospital and in isolation, gown up, pray and all that sort of stuff. The other one was in another hospital and prayed. And I wasn't alone. Many people were praying. Those two guys were healed. This young man, he died. And I actually had to be there when his mother nodded to the medical staff to turn off the machines. I cannot understand why, when there was no difference between our praying for three people and the young man that died, there were two churches that connected with, that I had connections with the pastors and so on, and they were praying for him. And I can't understand how come he died when the others didn't. And when God was speaking words of encouragement. And that's the problem, right? You see, I have to live with so many unanswered questions. And that's when you come back to the cross. And as a friend of mine, David Bowen, said, our God is so big that he can deal with the questions you can't answer.
Amen to that. Mm. I don't think I'll need a sign off for that. That's perfect. I think it's brilliant.
Jehovah Rapha, Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. Why is this so difficult and confusing? Why does it cause people to actually leave their faith? I want to do something here, and it might make some of you a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm going to ask you, if you know in your life at some point that without any doubt that you have had a healing in your life, I want you to stand up right now. Could I have the lights up, please? If you've had a healing in your life, look around. Look around. Reckon we could have celebrated a little stronger than it, sing a little louder, right? Isn't that awesome and amazing to see? Just in this small gathering of God's people, how many people have experienced God's healing in their life? Here's where the difficulty comes in for us. And I'm not going to ask you to stand, but if I reframe that and I said, if you have prayed to God for healing for someone in your life, and it didn't happen, please stand. No, I'm not going to ask you to. But I reckon just about everyone in the room would stand up for that. Even those that have experienced healing have also seen the other side of it when God didn't heal. And that causes us so much confusion, so much, again, shipwreck for some people in their faith. And I want today, I hope that today, to help us all understand that, first of all, God is our healer. And I want to try to help us understand and relieve some of that confusion that comes, some of that controversy that comes. Are we going to answer all the questions and fully understand it? Certainly not. Phil couldn't even do that. But hopefully we can bring a little bit of comfort and a little bit of confidence to the fact that God is Jehovah Rapha. We find that name in Exodus chapter 15 in verse 22, where it says this: they traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. In this account, the children of Israel have fled Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. God had led them by his leader Moses out of Egypt. He had led them through the Red Sea, where he made the water stand up. There was plenty of water there at the time, but it all got dried up. They walked across on dry ground. Now they're going through the desert for 3 days with no water. I've been drinking water all morning, and even while the video was playing, I had to have more water before I started talking right now, because I just need lots of water so that I can do this for hours on end. And yeah, you get that. Right? I can't imagine going without water for 3 days, not finding any water for 3 days. And then it says that they came to Marah. So imagine 2 million people plus, okay, are walking through the desert, and they see this oasis called Marah. And there's water there, and they're getting excited. It's been 3 days. Their tongues are dragging the dirt, and they're just barely getting on there. And they get to the water, and somebody tasted the water and spit it out of their mouth and said, "No, it's too bitter. We can't drink it." Wow. How great would that be? How bitter must that water have been for you not to be able to drink it after 3 days? Hey, I was in Robe, South Australia a couple of weeks ago. And Robe, South Australia, has the worst water on the planet, okay? And coffee made with water in Robe, South Australia, doesn't taste nice. It was a bad experience, but I still drank some of it until I could get to the store and buy a bunch of bottles of water. Imagine 3 days without water. You find water, and it's so bitter you can't drink. You had hope. But then the water's not drinkable. Look at verse 24. It says, then the people complained and turned against Moses. Now, we bag out the Israelites for all their complaining, but I'm gonna stand with them on this. 3 days, no water. You get teased with a little bit of hope that there's about to be water. I'm gonna complain. Okay, I don't think I complain that much, but 3 days without water and then being disappointed like that, I'm probably gonna complain. It says this: what are we going to drink, they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. That's significant. Moses is asking the Lord for help. The Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. Moses cries out to God, hey, what do I do here? The people are complaining. They need water. God, you know they need water. You designed their bodies to need water. What do I do? God said, throw that wood into the water, and it'll be sweet. And that happened. Problem solved. And it was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree. It says this in verse 26. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and helping all his, and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. So on the backside of giving them water to drink, he makes a covenant with Israel, an agreement, a covenant that says this. It was a conditional covenant. It says, if you do this, then I will do this. Right? That's conditional. If you do this, then I will do this. And he revealed his name as Yahweh Rapha. It reminds me of a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 that says this: if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God made promises to Israel based on their obedience and his response to their obedience. Now, as a bit of a side note here, this week, our famous athlete, Israel Folau, got in the news again. I reckon he was just not getting enough notoriety. It had all died down, so he decided, here we go again. And he made a statement to the effect that the bushfires and drought that we are experiencing in this land today are because God is punishing us because we legalized abortion and same-sex marriage and those things, which we certainly are not fans of those things. But Israel, Falau, not Israel the nation, I reckon he needs to stick with rugby, but he can't do that because he got sacked from that. But anyway, his theological understanding of God is a little bit wanting. He pulls text out of context and says, God is punishing the land of Australia because of these things. Israel needs to understand that God's judgment for the sin of all mankind was satisfied on the cross of Jesus Christ. God is not punishing our land and punishing innocent people and innocent people dying, kids dying in fires and things because God is punishing our land. You need to have confidence in that. That is not the God that we are serving. God loves us. He is not a God that's exercising that kind of judgment on our land today. It is significant that God had led Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and he had led them to a desperate place. He could have provided water before the 3 days, for sure. And he got them to a place where they were so desperate, they were crying out, they were complaining, they were grumpy. And that's when he revealed that he is the God who heals to them. Not when they were healthy. Not when they were going along just fine. When they desperately needed to understand him as the God who heals, he revealed himself as the God who heals. Now, there are several areas that God provides healing for. I'm going to look at a few of those this morning. The most common one, when we talk about healing, and when I ask you to stand, I'm assuming everyone that stood, when I ask if you had had a healing in your life, you were thinking a physical healing. That he healed you from a sickness or a disease. Yahweh Rapha heals our sickness and disease. There's many Old Testament passages that describe God healing sickness. Psalm chapter 41 verse 3 says, "The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health." Exodus chapter 23 verse 25 says, "I will take away sickness from among you." Deuteronomy 7:15 says, "The Lord will keep you free from every disease." Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, "I will restore your health. Your wounds I will heal." And there are dozens more in the Old Testament that talk about God as the healer. And Jesus had a fantastic healing ministry when it came to sickness and disease. Jesus went about healing people of all the sickness and disease. He healed a man from leprosy in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. He restored the eyesight of two blind men in Matthew chapter 9. He healed the man with a deformed hand. Remember that one? Where the man had a deformed hand and he told him to stick out his other hand and they became the same. And I always thought, well, what if they both became lepers? But anyway, Jesus healed both hands. And I love that passage because you know what happened then? The next verse, after he heals the man with the deformed hand, it says, "Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how to kill Jesus." Yeah, that's why we don't like meetings around here. He healed a multitude of people that touched his garment. You can see there in Mark chapter 6. Then it says he healed all who were ill in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 9. Look at the next one, though. It says, Jesus healed all. It says many. And the next one, Jesus healed a few sick people. That's significant that in every circumstance, he didn't heal everyone. Sometimes he healed everyone in that space, but he didn't always heal everyone. And then the coup d'etat of all is Jesus healed Lazarus by raising him from the dead. That's an amazing healing that he did. So God is clearly more than capable of healing our sicknesses. We see that throughout history. So whether it's a cold or whether it's cancer, God, Jehovah Rapha, is a God who certainly has the capacity to heal. There is nothing beyond his capability to heal. He raised a person from the dead. He can heal anything. And while physical healing is where our minds naturally go to right away when we talk about Jehovah Rapha being the God who heals, it's not the only space that he heals in. He also heals our sadness. Jehovah Rapha heals our broken hearts, our sadness. God is interested in us as a whole person, as whole people. He wants to heal not just our physical ailments, but also our emotional and our mental ailments as well. Psalm chapter 73 says this in verse 21, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside." Anybody ever felt like that? Only a few of us? Both my hands are up. My heart was troubled. All torn up inside, the emotions. You know, God's interested in healing that. It says in verse 26 of the same chapter, "My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." That didn't even talk about healing. It talked about health failing, my spirit being weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted." And then Jesus in John chapter 14 says this, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Don't be troubled or afraid. I'm giving you this gift of peace of mind and peace of heart. You know, this life is full of grief. We all experience loss. Every person in this room, if you've been alive more than a few months, probably more than a few minutes, you've experienced some kind of loss in your life. And that loss triggered grief. And that grief may have been small and short-lived, or that grief may be something that happened many, many years ago, the loss, and you may still be dealing with that grief today. Jehovah Rapha cares about that. He wants to heal your broken hearts. Sometimes we are treated wrongly. Sometimes things in life just don't turn out right and it's unjust. Jehovah Rapha is interested in that part of your life, and he wants to heal that part of your life. When we have broken relationships, he wants to intervene in those. When you remember in the Old Testament, the account of Jacob and Esau, you remember as they were growing up, they became a rivalry because because God chose Isaac over Esau for the blessing. And then they ended up splitting. They were at war with each other. And then God restored their relationship. Remember the account of the prodigal son that Jesus told, where the son asked for all the money, the inheritance, before his dad died? Kids start asking, I've got a kid that keeps asking, "Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I?" It's like, "I'm 52. Please be quiet." Anyway. But the son in the account was saying, "Hey, I want all this coming to me now." And he ran off and spent it all, wasted it all and everything. And when the dad could have been really ticked off and upset and just said, "Okay, you're dead to me. I want nothing to do with you." The son came to the end of himself in a hog pen. Came back, and the father was there waiting with open arms to receive him. God wants to heal those broken relationships in your life and in my life. We all have them. You're thinking of someone right now that the relationship didn't go as planned. And you've actually pushed it. Some of you have pushed it so far as you said it can never be restored. God can heal that broken relationship. He is Jehovah Rapha. So he's the God who heals sickness, the God who heals sadness. He's also the God who heals our sin. He's the God who is concerned about healing our spiritual life. Psalm 103, verse 3 says, "He forgives all my sins and heals all my disease." The way he does that was foreshadowed in Isaiah chapter 53, where it says this, "He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." He wants to heal our sin. And that's in the Old Testament. There's a mirror verse in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says this, "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross." Speaking of Jesus. so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. So beautiful. We always think of healing as it's sick, it's disease. We have to have healing for that. God is so much bigger than that. He's concerned so much more about so much more than our physical healing. Jesus healed a lot of people in his ministry physically. He provided encouragement and comfort for the brokenhearted. He cast out demons who were oppressing people. He had a holistic ministry. He was concerned about every part of their life. In Matthew chapter 11 says this, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. See, Jesus is always most interested in healing our sin. When you see Jesus healing people, it's often accompanied with, and your sins are forgiven. And when it's not for that person, it's to point other people to the fact that he is the forgiver of sins. The Pharisees tried to trip him up on that all the time. When the man came down through the roof, their four friends were trying to get a man to Jesus. He was in a house that was so crowded, he was teaching. They couldn't get in. So they went and they cut a hole in the roof and they dropped the man down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, their faith has made you well and your sins are forgiven. Pharisees did not like that at all. Who has the power to forgive sins but God? And Jesus said this. He said, I'm telling people to take up their mat and walk to prove to you that I can forgive sins. I am God. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, he went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. One of my favorite passages or accounts is when Matthew called a guy called Matthew to be his disciple. Matthew was a tax collector. And just like today, tax collectors were bad dudes back then. Yeah. He was crooked. He would have been ripping people off. And our tax collectors today don't do that, I'm sure. But Jesus said, follow me. Matthew left his tax collector's booth and followed Jesus. And then Matthew organized a party. And he said, hey, Jesus, I'm going to invite all my friends. I want you to come around. Jesus went to the party. What did the Pharisees say? They said this. Mark chapter 2 says, they asked the disciples, the Pharisees did, why does he eat with such scum? That's what they wanted to know. Jesus is eating with Matthew and his bad friends, sinful friends. And then Jesus, he heard them say that and he said this. It says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jehovah Rapha wants to heal our sin. He wants to heal our sickness. He wants to heal our sadness. He desperately wants to heal our sin. But a few questions still remain. We've only established right now that God has always been in the business of healing. But how does healing come? Where does it come from? Healing, first of all, comes from faith. In the Gospels, Matthew chapter 9 says, your faith has healed you. Jesus talking to the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Your faith has healed you. In Luke chapter 18, he tells someone else, your faith has made you well. Mark chapter 5, he says, your faith has saved you. Faith is a critical element of healing. Without faith, people will not be healed. James tells us that we need to ask in faith without doubting. Jesus said, whatever you ask in faith, you will receive. You think about faith for healing. Faith for healing sickness. If we ask God to heal sickness, but we don't believe he can heal sickness, why are we asking? It says, ask believing. Friends, I think too often we ignore these things, that we've sterilized our doctrinal positions on this and everything, and we say, you know, I really don't believe God heals today. You know, we'll come to that in just a few minutes. But I'm going to pray anyway, just in case he might. That prayer is worthless. It says pray in faith, believing. You have it if you believe, if you have faith. Faith for healing sickness. Faith to heal brokenheartedness and sadness. Think about your brokenheartedness and sadness. Many times it's a reflection. Our brokenheartedness is a reflection that we're not trusting God. Think about that. Because we're in our situation and our heart is broken because things didn't work out the way we wanted them to. And immediately we're saying, I don't have faith. I don't trust God for this situation. He's disappointed me. We need faith for God to heal our brokenheartedness. And when we talk about our sin, certainly we need faith for God to heal our sin. It's faith that accepts his forgiveness for our sins. Healing comes by faith. Healing also comes in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, Peter said this, by the name of Jesus Christ, this man stands healed. And then in Acts chapter 9, he said this, Annas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he arose. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, you have. See, healing is only done by God in Jesus' name. It's not done by some person that says, I have the gift of healing. If you send me $19.95, I will pray for you and you will be healed. That's a load of rubbish. If somebody's selling you that, they're selling you a load of rubbish. It's in Jesus' name that people are healed. Every account of that. We aren't able to heal people on our own. We're going to talk about it in just a minute, about the gift of healing. But it's always in Jesus' name. Then healing also comes not only by faith and not only in Jesus' name, but by prayer. Exodus chapter 15, verse 25, the account that we read to start with, says that Moses cried out to the Lord. Lord, what do I do? These people need healing. They don't have water. He prayed. In the book of Hezekiah. Okay, I've got one person shaking her head no, and it's my wife. You know? In the book of 2 Kings, we read an account about Hezekiah. He was about to die, and as a result of intense intercessory prayer, God did this for him. Here's the account that it says. This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. I will add 15 years to your life. Hezekiah got 15 more years added to his life because of prayer. James chapter 5, beginning verse 13, says this. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer, offered in faith, will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. You see all that working together there? The brokenheartedness, the sickness, and the sin, all there in James. Lastly, another way healing comes is through forgiveness. It says, you will be forgiven if you committed any sins. Healing comes through forgiveness. Healing and forgiveness are often attached in Jesus' ministry. But did you know that our forgiveness of other people is also attached to God's forgiveness of us? It's in the Lord's Prayer. It says that if we don't forgive those who sin against us, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. We need to forgive people. You know, medical research has discovered that when people harbor bitterness and unforgiveness, it actually affects them physically, can make them sick. And if they forgive people, it actually heals their physical ailments many times. Amen. Forgiveness is powerful for healing. It certainly heals broken hearts. Most of the time, our broken hearts are a result of unforgiveness. If we harbor bitterness and resentment, friends, we're preventing our own healing. It's not good for us physically. We forgive others for our own health. So, you may be asking, well, we can see apparently God heals over history, and we've looked at all these elements of how healing happens, but is healing for today? Is healing really for today? I would ask for a show of hands, but I bet we could divide the room that some would say, yes, healing's for today. And some say, oh, no, we can't go there. Well, we're going to go there and figure it out right now. Short answer is yes. Healing is for today. I have personally seen it in my own life through God healing my wife. When Jill, our youngest daughter, was born, Deanna almost died. Spent 9 days in the hospital. He couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. One night, she almost didn't pull through the night. We believe God healed her. And then God used that in her life to make her willing to come to Australia. Wow. God uses the things he heals for his purposes. Saw healing, and many of you already know that story in the life of Jill, our youngest daughter, when she had the bone marrow transplant and all that. It was just so gut-wrenching that season, but God healed her. Another story I could tell you about my other daughter, but I won't. And when we know a time where God healed her when she had something that could have easily killed her. I've not only seen it in the lives of my family, I've seen it in some of your lives. There are some of you here that I have prayed for, and you have experienced healing. And you've come back and told me that. Yeah. Love the Maturi family. Their son Marumi is one of those. God still heals today. But what does that look like? How do we need to understand that? How do we frame that in our context? First of all, we need to understand that all gifts, spiritual gifts, are given for the common good of the church, for the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to the church. 1 Corinthians 12, many other passages talk about it, and it includes healing, but it's given for the good of the church as a whole. Healings are never merely individual blessings. They are always to be used by God in the context of building up his kingdom, his church. That's why we testify when somebody gets healed, so that people can point to God and see and give him the glory. That's how it's used in the church. None of us have the authority to heal in our own power. Go back to it's all done in Jesus' name. When God gives the gift of healing, he intends it to glorify Jesus Christ and to build up his church. You know, it's really about answered prayer. It's God's power intervening. The gift of healing is only executed through prayer in Jesus' name. And then lastly, when we look at it being a gift that is for the common good of the church, we need to understand and not expect every illness to be healed. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Not only is it for the good of the church, it's also for a witness to the world. See, healing is a sign to the world that the kingdom of God is breaking in to this age that Satan is ruling. He is the ruler of this age. And sometimes God breaks through and says, hang on, look here, it's coming. It's coming. That's a testimony that God is still on the throne and that full restoration is coming when we see healings. It's a witness that the reign of death in this age to come is only temporary. See, when we pray for healing, that's another way we can pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says, your kingdom come. When we pray for healing, we are praying for God's kingdom to come. Because that is a breakthrough that's going to heal everyone one day. Healing is to authenticate the proclaimed gospel. In Acts chapter 14, verse 3, it says, the Lord proved their message was true by signs and wonders. So healing is for today. The gift is to be used for the common good of the church, and it's a witness to the world. But sometimes God doesn't heal. He's Jehovah Rapha. But sometimes he does not heal. This week, I went to visit a friend in hospital. This friend is only about my age, a little bit older maybe. And she has cancer, and things are looking very grim. They've classified her as palliative and said she's got 3 to 6 months. to live. Got a message from another colleague that's wife has cancer. It was in remission. She was doing really good. They went back to the doctor, and it's there more aggressive than ever before. And it doesn't look good. My father had a massive heart attack at 42 years old and died instantly. My mother died from a lung disease at the age of 67. I used to think 67 was old. The closer I get, it's not. I've been at hospital bedsides when people have taken their last breath. One of those was 10 years old. Sometimes God doesn't heal. God is Jehovah Rapha, the healer, but healing is not always the path that he chooses for us. We know that Paul had a problem with his eyesight that God never healed. When Timothy was sick, what did Paul tell him? He said, go drink some wine. He didn't say go to a healing service. Paul says he had a thorn in the flesh which he prayed to God to remove 3 times, but God never removed it. Sometimes his perfect plan for our lives is to allow us to suffer and experience the disease, the illness, the hardship. Why? Friends, one major reason is that he can teach us things and mold us and shape us through suffering in ways that seminars and books and Bible colleges and everything else that you could imagine, even hearing sermons from me, which are really, really good, could never do. A motto I picked up several years ago is a smooth sea has never made a skilled sailor. Because I know in my own life, it's the suffering, it's the trials, it's the difficulties that have taught me the most. And friends, I wouldn't trade those. Because God has made me stronger through them. Not by taking them away from me. You know, Job suffered because God had a bigger purpose for him. And friends, Job's suffering was not a lack of faith. Don't let anyone tell you that. Paul asked 3 times to be healed from his weakness, but God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He didn't heal him because God could be stronger through Paul's weakness and show himself stronger and be glorified more through Paul's weakness than if he had healed him. Some of the greatest blessings in this world and in our lives come by the power of God through trials. When Christians are going through stuff, you ever see non-believers say, how are you dealing with that so well? You ever have that? You should. It's because God's strength and God is glorifying himself in that. The most resilient people that I've come across in my life are those who've had to do it tough. Those who have either physical limitations or other hardships in their life, and they've gone through that, they are more resilient because of it. Over the past 25 plus years of ministry, I've seen people greatly hurt by a false teaching that God always wants to heal. And I wish God wanted to heal every time. And all we had to do was go through the formula. It's faith in Jesus' name, and we pray and make sure we're forgiving. And God's going to heal every time. I wish that were true. But biblical evidence, the stories in Scripture, and your experience, and your experience, and yours, and yours, and yours, and mine, demonstrate to us that it's not always true. Everybody finishes this life sometime, right? Well, a lack of faith can be the cause that a healing doesn't happen. We should not always assume that's what's going on. Because when we do that, you know what we do to people? We put heaps of guilt on people. and confusion on them. Or don't I have enough faith? Or is there hidden sin in my life that I'm not dealing with? Is God judging me? Is he judging my family because of something I've done? Friends, that's not helpful. Sometimes God chooses not to heal. And his plan is not to heal a problem for us quickly. That's okay. He still loves us. He still has a plan. He still has a purpose beyond anything that we could ever imagine to use that in our lives and the lives of others for his glory, for his kingdom's glory. God uses illness and suffering in amazing, beautiful ways to build our faith, to cultivate humility in us, and for us to experience his grace. Sometimes he uses it to teach us to draw closer to him when we walk through suffering. I want to encourage you today, church, that God is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. He healed throughout history, and he still heals today. If people are telling you God doesn't heal anymore, that's a load of rubbish as well. God does heal. He is Jehovah Rapha. Whether it's sickness, sadness, whether it's our sin. And friends, I think in our some of our circles, we've got such a diversity here that we've come from. The circle I came from, I'll tell you, neglected this gift. They never used this gift because they were holding a position that all of that went away. Friends, I don't want to be a church, a body of believers that neglects this gift of healing. He gives it to the church. We need faith. We need to exercise it in Jesus' name. We need to pray, and we need to forgive. But I want to take you back to Exodus chapter 15 for just a moment. Where we started, Exodus chapter 15. He made the bitter water sweet at Marah. And then verse 27, it says, after leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water. He had made the bitter water sweet, and then he led them to a place of plenty. 12 springs, an oasis, palm trees. It was a place of refreshing, a place of healing. Friends, when life for you and life for me becomes too bitter to drink, Jesus says this in John chapter 7, verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Is life bitter for you right now? Is there hurting? Jesus says, come and drink. He will give you refreshing waters that you need. It's the only way to go from Marah to Elim, the way to go from bitter, which is what Marah means, to plenty, is to turn to Jesus as our Jehovah Rapha. That's the only pathway. Whether you're hurting today, emotionally, physically, or spiritually, can I encourage you to turn to the God who heals, Jehovah Rapha? I want to invite you, we don't do stuff like this very often, but I want to invite you to allow me to pray for you this morning. Not because my prayers are more special than anybody else's, but I'm standing up here and I got the microphone. If you today, you've got sickness in your life that you want to be delivered from. You've got sadness, brokenheartedness in your life that you want to be delivered from. You've got sin in your life that you know you need to be delivered from. I'm going to ask you to stand up. If that's you today, I want to pray for you right now. So I invite you to stand. If you fit that category, sickness, sadness, brokenheartedness, sin in your life, thank you. Stay standing. Anyone else? We all need a lot of healing. Phil and I were talking in the prayer time before church. God wants to heal you. Going to pray for you now, and then we'll have another opportunity later on after the service. But Father, You see the people that are standing up right now. And Lord, I don't know why they stood up. Lord, some are standing right now because they have a physical ailment, because they've got something going on in their body that they don't understand, that doesn't feel right, that maybe is making their life, the end of their life, imminent. Or maybe, I know there will be people here who are battling with infertility. People who are battling with cancer, I know, are in the room. And Lord, with all the faith that I can find, believing fully that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who can heal, Lord, I want to ask you right now to heal those who are sick. Lord, we believe you can. We believe you will. We believe that you want to. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would heal those who are sick in our assembly right now. Lord, for those who are standing right now because they are brokenhearted, they are consumed with sadness. Lord, I want to pray for you to heal the brokenhearted in Jesus' name. I want you to give healing and recovery and restoration. If it's relationships that have broken hearts, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would restore in Jesus' name and heal the brokenhearted that are standing here right now. For those, Lord, that are standing right now because they are battling with sin in their life and they were willing to stand up and say, I need prayer for this. I need healing from this. Lord, I thank you for them. And Lord, I pray healing over that sin in their life in Jesus' name. I ask you to take that away. Lord, if there are people standing right now who have never entered a relationship with Jesus and asked forgiveness of their sins, I pray, Lord, today you would make that the day that that becomes a reality for them. Lord, I pray for healing for all those that are standing. Lord, they're standing there by faith. They're saying, yes, I need healing. I believe they're saying, yes, I know that he is Jehovah Rapha and can heal me. And they are asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your healing. Father, thank you for all the healing that you are doing right now in this moment. And Lord, help us to make sure that we glorify you by sharing that with others when it happens, in Jesus' name.